Welcome back to the Mbaga Media Finance Podcast. Today, we're diving deep into a fascinating strategic move by Lenis Rare Earths, their implementation of a long-term price floor. In the often turbulent world of commodity markets, finding an anchor can feel like a monumental task. Lenis seems to have found theirs, and it could be a game-changer.
Absolutely. It's more than just a financial hedge. It's a strategic maneuver that could reshape not only Lenis but potentially the entire rare earth market. This price floor essentially acts as a de facto revenue guarantee. Imagine market prices for rare earths plummeting instead of selling at potentially disastrous prices. Lenis is assured a minimum payment.
Exactly. It's like an insurance policy on their income, directly tied to their product's value. This mechanism provides a crucial buffer against those sharp downdrafts that commodity producers often face. The truly transformational aspect, as the article highlights, is the shift from being a price taker to having revenue certainty. This stability can unlock so much potential for long-term planning, capital expenditures, and scaling operations.
And for the broader rare earth market, which is notorious for its boom and bust cycles and supply chain vulnerabilities, this could signal a move towards greater maturity. It suggests that key stakeholders recognize the paramount importance of a predictable, reliable supply of these critical materials, even if it means tempering extreme market speculation.
Let's start by exploring the strategic rationale behind this price floor. The article points out that in volatile commodity markets, securing such a floor is multifaceted. Industries like energy and automotive rely heavily on a consistent rare earth supply for everything from wind turbines to electric vehicle motors. Wild price swings can disrupt these crucial supply chains, leading to project delays and increased costs.
Precisely. By establishing this price floor, Lenis isn't just safeguarding its own profitability, it's offering a degree of assurance to its major customers and, by extension, the industries that depend on them. This is a calculated move to de-risk the supply chain for critical inputs, a theme that has gained significant traction globally in recent years, especially after the pandemic highlighted supply chain fragilities.
However, no such agreement is without its considerations. The article rightly flags counterparty risk and inherent dependencies. This price floor isn't arbitrary, it's an agreement with another party, likely a major customer or a consortium. This introduces a dependency. Lenis relies on the counterparty to honor the agreement, and vice versa.
Understanding the financial health, strategic alignment, and long-term commitment of this counterparty is absolutely crucial. The strength of this agreement is directly tied to the reliability of the entities involved. The article emphasizes that the transformational power likely comes from a combination of factors, not just the price itself, but also the volume commitments that typically accompany these arrangements.
A guaranteed price for a substantial, predefined volume provides a much clearer picture of future revenues. The pricing structure itself might also be sophisticated, perhaps with mechanisms for periodic review, all while maintaining that fundamental floor. These elements combine to create a robust revenue stream, significantly less susceptible to the whims of the spot market.
And the potential impact on Lenis's operational flexibility and strategic decision-making is profound. With a guaranteed revenue base, the company can operate with greater confidence. This could mean investing in process improvements, expanding capacity, or weathering temporary operational challenges without the immediate threat of revenue collapse. It truly shifts the focus from short-term survival to long-term strategic growth.
Moving on to the geopolitical significance and market perception, this price floor isn't just a financial instrument, it's a significant geopolitical and supply chain strategic play. In an era where nations are intensely focused on securing critical mineral supply chains for technological advancements and green energy transitions, an agreement that guarantees a stable supply from a geographically diversified producer like Lenis holds immense strategic value.
It aligns perfectly with national interests in reducing reliance on single-source suppliers and building resilient supply networks. Now, how is the market perceiving this? The critical question for investors and analysts is whether this transformational guarantee is fully appreciated or largely overlooked. There's an inherent tension. The structural guarantee offers certainty, but if market prices surge well above the floor, Lenis might not fully benefit from those extreme highs, depending on the agreement's terms.
This creates a dynamic where the market might be weighing the downside protection against the potential for capturing peak market prices. Interpreting the market's current valuation requires a deep dive into Linus's stock performance and valuation multiples. Are current share prices reflecting the enhanced stability, or is the market treating it as a standard commodity play, with the price floor only partially priced in?
Looking at the historical stock performance leading up to and following the announcement is essential. Did the stock react significantly, or did it remain subdued, hinting at skepticism? Comparing Linus's valuation multiples, like P/E ratio or EV/EBITDA, against its peers is another crucial step. This comparison should include other rare earth companies and even companies in other commodity sectors that have used similar stabilization mechanisms.
If Linus is trading at a discount relative to companies with comparable stability, it could indicate the market is underestimating the price floor's impact. Quantifying the potential upside if the market underestimates this floor is a compelling exercise. It involves modeling future revenue scenarios with and without the full appreciation of this guarantee. This brings us to the behavioral finance aspect.
Behavioral finance sheds light on why the market might be hesitant. Commodity markets are often driven by sentiment, momentum, and herd mentality. Investors might be conditioned to react to price swings rather than fundamental structural changes. There's also the disconnect between a structural guarantee, which is long-term, and cyclical commodity sentiment, which can be short-term and emotionally driven.
The market might be stuck in a narrative of commodity price volatility, finding it difficult to embrace an anomaly like a guaranteed revenue stream. Identifying specific market narratives or concerns overshadowing the price floor's significance is key. Are there concerns about long-term demand for certain rare earths, or worries about the specific counterparty to the agreement?
Or perhaps the market is preoccupied with broader macroeconomic trends like inflation or interest rate hikes. The challenge for investors is discerning true intrinsic value from this pervasive market noise. If the market is indeed wrong in its assessment, what are the implications for a potential re-rating of Linus's stock? Could its true value be masked by prevailing skepticism?
This brings us directly to the recent rating downgrade. Investigating the specific reasons cited for this downgrade is paramount. Were the concerns directly related to the price floor agreement itself, perhaps questioning its terms or sustainability? Or were they rooted in more traditional operational concerns like production costs, project timelines, or ESG issues?
It's also possible the downgrade reflects broader market factors or a shift in the rating agency's methodology. Understanding the specific metrics and outlooks that the rating agency prioritizes is crucial to interpreting their decision. Assessing the credibility and influence of the downgrading entity within the financial community is also important.
Some agencies carry more weight, and their pronouncements can significantly sway market sentiment. It's vital to distinguish between a downgrade based on a fundamental, long-term outlook and one that appears to be a reaction to short-term sentiment. The downgrade's impact on the partially priced-in thesis is a central question. Is it reinforcing skepticism, or is it a catalyst for re-evaluation?
Let's talk about the downgrade's impact and the potential for contrarian opportunities. There's a potential for a self-fulfilling prophecy effect from rating agencies. A downgrade can lead to negative sentiment, impacting the stock price and cost of capital, potentially validating the agency's concerns.
Considering the historical impact of similar downgrades on other commodity-linked companies can provide valuable context. Did those companies recover and see their valuations improve once the market digested the downgrade and focused on fundamentals? And crucially, what strategic response is required from Linus management?
Open communication and a clear articulation of the company's strategy and the benefits of the price floor agreement become even more critical in such situations. The article poses a provocative question: does this downgrade actually present a contrarian opportunity? If the market's skepticism is amplified by the downgrade, and if that skepticism is ultimately misplaced, it could create a situation where investors who look beyond the headlines find a compelling opportunity.
It's the classic contrarian investor's dilemma: to go against the prevailing sentiment when the fundamentals suggest otherwise. To fully grasp the significance of Linus's price floor, we must map the broader geopolitical landscape of rare earth supply and demand. This industry is inherently strategic, with a handful of nations dominating both extraction and processing.
Linus, with its operations in Australia and Malaysia, occupies a unique and increasingly important position. How does its price floor agreement align with, or perhaps diverge from, the national strategic interests of countries seeking to secure critical mineral supply chains? The role of major state-backed entities or governments in the price floor agreement is a critical piece of this puzzle.
These agreements are often not purely commercial transactions, they can be deeply intertwined with national security objectives and industrial policy. If the counterparty is a government agency or state-sponsored entity, it lends significant weight and strategic alignment to the arrangement. Furthermore, the potential for other rare earth producers to seek similar price stabilization mechanisms is a development worth watching.
If Linus's agreement proves successful, it could pave the way for a more structured and less volatile pricing environment across the sector. Analyzing the competitive implications for Linus is also important. If competitors lack similar structural support, Linus gains a significant advantage in terms of planning, investment, and resilience. This could allow Linus to consolidate its market position and potentially gain market share.
Now, let's turn our attention to long-term sustainability and investor strategy. The news clips related to critical mineral security and trade tensions aren't mere background noise, they are the very forces that make arrangements like Linus's price floor so strategically significant. They underscore the global imperative to diversify supply chains and ensure reliable access to these essential materials.
Assessing the long-term sustainability of such price floor arrangements in a rapidly evolving global energy and technology sector is a forward-looking exercise. Will these agreements become the norm, or will they be temporary measures to navigate current geopolitical uncertainties? The interplay between pure market forces and governmental or strategic imperatives will continue to shape the rare earth industry.
The question then becomes, is this price floor a harbinger of a new, more stable era for rare earth pricing, or is it a temporary anomaly? This brings us to the investor's dilemma, a complex knot of transformational assets, structural guarantees, market skepticism, and the influence of a recent rating downgrade. Synthesizing these competing forces is the core challenge.
We have a company with a potentially game-changing strategic agreement offering significant revenue stability, yet the market appears hesitant, possibly influenced by broader commodity cycles and the negative signal of a downgrade. Developing a framework for investors to assess Linus's true intrinsic value, accounting for the price floor, is essential.
This framework should move beyond traditional valuation metrics and incorporate the quantifiable benefits of revenue certainty. It means modeling scenarios that explicitly include the guaranteed revenue stream, not just assuming a continuation of past market price volatility. Quantifying the risk-reward profile becomes the next logical step.
What are the potential downside scenarios if the market skepticism proves justified? This might involve scenarios where the counterparty defaults, or where the pricing structure still leaves Linus vulnerable. Conversely, what are the potential upside scenarios if the market eventually recognizes the full value of the price floor? This involves calculating the potential for a re-rating as stability and predictability become dominant factors.
Considering the investment horizon is crucial. Is this a short-term trade, hoping the market catches up, or a long-term strategic investment, betting on the enduring importance of rare earths and the stability offered by the price floor? The importance of due diligence beyond headline ratings and price action cannot be overstated.
Investors need to dig into the details of the price floor agreement, understand the counterparty, and assess the operational realities of Linus itself. Identifying key performance indicators, KPIs, that investors should monitor is vital for validating or invalidating the partially priced in thesis. This might include tracking production targets, the financial health of the counterparty, and management commentary.
The role of management communication in bridging the gap between intrinsic value and market perception is also critical. Clear, consistent, and transparent communication can help educate the market and steer perception towards a more accurate valuation. The final pivot, then, is to ask, what is the rational investor's next step in light of this complex valuation puzzle?
It requires a careful balancing act. It means acknowledging the risks highlighted by the downgrade and market skepticism, but also recognizing the profound strategic advantage and financial stability conferred by the price floor. It might mean looking for opportunities where the market's short-term anxieties have created a mispricing of long-term, structural value.
It's a call to look beyond the immediate noise and assess the enduring strength of a company strategically positioned in a critical global industry, now fortified by an unprecedented level of revenue certainty.
We've covered the introduction, all five sections, the conclusion, and the detailed summary.
That wraps up our deep dive into Lenis Rare Earth's strategic price floor.
Indeed. A truly fascinating case study in navigating commodity market volatility with strategic financial instruments. Thanks for joining us on the Mbaga Media Finance Podcast.